You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number three here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The King, Tony Zagata, Corey Parson, and Greg Sussman here with you. Night in the NBA was small last night, Tony. There are only three games on the schedule, highlighted by TNT, Chicago, Golden State, and the Warriors lose again.
Yeah, this was the first time the Warriors lost back-to-back games since April of 2015, and it was their worst shooting percentage of the season, 38.6%, the lowest point total of the season, and the lowest percentage, 30.6, that Klay Thompson and Steph Curry shot from the field all year.
Yeah, they were a combined 3 of 22 from behind the arc were Curry and Thompson. I played Klay Thompson DFS last night. That's called a disaster.
Yeah. It's just like, this was just like, there was real bad luck, though, too. There were, like, shots that were, like, rimming in and out, though, too. It's just like, nothing could hit. They just couldn't hit the side of a building last night.
13 points for Klay, 1 of 11 from behind the arc, 5 of 22. 23 for Steph, 10 of 27, 2 of 11 from three-point range. Patrick McCall had 11 and 4, two assists, 2 steals, so he certainly returned value in DFS. And Draymond Green, 12 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, so he filled out the stat line. Matt Barnes debuted, played 12 minutes, and Andre Iguodala off the bench had 10 and 7.
This is going to be a team that you got to throw this one out the window. First game without Kevin Durant, they're going to be fine going forward. Bad night shooting with Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry on the road after the injury. They'll be fine. I would throw this one away. I'm interested to see, though, if McCaw continues to start or if Matt Barnes takes the starting role there. I believe Barnes will, and he's a guy that you definitely could pick up fantasy-wise right now.
For the Chicago Bulls, Jimmy Butler had 22 and 5, 6 assists, 4 steals. Dwayne Wade had 12 and 5. But the big story of this game for this team, it was Bobby Portis. Free Bobby Portis, and free he was. 17 points, 13 rebounds to power forward. Nikola Mirotic, on the other hand, had just 5 points, 2 rebounds. I know fantasy owners desperately trying to figure out which one on which night. It kind of reminds me of John Lawrence, Tobias Harris a little bit, Tony.
Yeah, this is a crazy situation here. I believe that they want Bobby Portis to be the guy, and it seems like he's getting every opportunity. So we talked about this last night, right, with the situation with the Phoenix centers and Al Williams and Alex Len, and how that whoever's hot stays in the game. And I think Bobby Portis has the initial chance because he starts. So if he's hot, it's going to keep Mirotić off the bench. And the surprise to me in this game for the Bulls side of things, we started to see Rondo get more and more involved in the offense. And then last night he only plays 13 minutes, as Grant played 13 minutes, Valentine played 14 minutes. So they spread it out, and then Dwayne Wade ended up being the point guard most of the time.
Yeah, as Tony said, 14 for Valentine, 13 for Cameron Payne, 13 for Rajon Rondo.
Yeah.
Then you had, as he said, Jerry and Grant, 13. Literally these four or five guys got 13 minutes apiece.
Yeah, Michael Carter-Williams now missing 3 consecutive games with the knee tendonitis. The Warriors got a chance to get better, though. They got the Knicks on Sunday.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
The Phoenix Suns defeated Charlotte last night. You don't really say Phoenix and win in the same sentence very often.
No.
But 120-103, the Suns pick up the victory, led by 17 points from Marquese Chris. Didn't do anything else. 1 assist and 1 rebound, and literally, that's it. 16 points apiece from T.J. Warren, who had 16 and 8. You also had Big Sauce, Alan Williams off the bench, 16 and 12 in 24 minutes. And then Leandro Barbosa had 16 and 4.
Where's he from?
TJ Warren.
Barbosa?
Yeah.
Spain? Maybe?
TJ Warren's the big winner in that trade that sent your guy to Toronto there. He is a guy that you could play every night in DFS. His salary hasn't risen that significantly, and he could get 35 points from him. Absolutely a guy in a game with a high total that you can look at every night in that position.
Well, the reason TJ Warren's me is so reliable, Tony, is because he's the only one that's guaranteed minutes. Eric Bledsoe and Devin Booker, like, seemingly should be, but they're trying to get Tyler Ulis some action. They're working Leandro Barbosa in the rotation now. I know TJ Warren's going to get his minutes. Even at the center position where Alan Williams and Alex Leonard just splitting time because now Tyson Chandler is glued to the bench. It seems like Phoenix is constantly trying new things. So I'm not really sure the direction you go with other than T.J. Warren night in, night out.
The Tyler Ulis thing is crazy to me. He's a guy I think eventually is going to be a decent player in this league. I think everybody's going to point. He's going to have a lot of Isaiah Thomas comparisons because they're so small, and he's such a good player. But it's going to take a couple years. There's no way that Eric Bledsoe shouldn't be playing.
Well, I think ultimately their plan is, that, I guess, trade Bledsoe and have a backcourt of Ulis and Booker, right? Like, that's their plan, I assume?
I guess. That I'll tell you what, they got huge expectations for this kid.
Yeah. Can you play Tyler Ulis in DFS right now? I mean, his price is nothing. He's getting the minutes. You know they're going to be there. Can you play him?
Yeah, and I would try to play him in a game where they're a double-digit underdog and get him out in the court. I think if you look at a game where they had a home team last night against Charlotte, there's a chance he could play 14, 15 minutes. Now, at $3,000, can he get in 14, 15 minutes 20 points? Yeah, he could. That's an up-and-down style offense. Yeah, so you could play him on a nightly basis. I would try to center on him and try to get a couple extra minutes in a blowout game.
Tonight?
Like if they
play Oklahoma City tonight.
Yeah, they play. That's an interesting game because I watched that game last. That was a great game last night.
I watched it too.
They expended a lot of energy, and I'm interested to see what happens tonight. They were so much better. Taj Gibson was so much better when him and Dougie McDermott were on the court with Westbrook. They were a lot better. They need to make a change in that rotation.
I think they will.
And that kid can shoot the ball at the two guard. What is that, Vilas?
He was a disaster last night, by the way, for much of the game. He had 0 points for so long.
And then he hit a huge shot there. He can shoot. He can't do anything else.
Nope.
They need Victor Oladipo back.
Very badly.
I think they're going to be good, though, once he comes back.
Yeah.
One note on the Hornets. Frank Kaminsky collided with Alan Williams in the fourth quarter. Did not return at a wrap over his left shoulder after the game, so we're going to have to wait and see on that.
And it's frustrating because Frank Kaminsky's played the best basketball of his
career. Yeah, he has.
He's
been a popular DFS pick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
They have no big men either.
No, Cody Zeller, minutes limit. He had 24 minutes last night. I assume if Kaminsky's out, that will go up. You got 26-8 from Kemba Walker, 19-4 from Marvin Williams, 12-5-3 from Nicholas Batum, while Michael Kidd-Gilchrist had 7 points, 8 rebounds, but he did have 6 steals on the evening.
And Miles Plumlee has now missed 6 straight games with a calf strain.
We talked about Michael Kidd-Gilchrist versus Bellinelli last night. They were the same salary on who you can play.
Yep.
And I said the reason I was leaning towards Kidd-Gilchrist was that he gets every category. So you're never going to get a shutdown. But Bellinelli is just a shooter. So I think he can get 20 points in a game. But there are games when he can't do anything else. So we talked about it. And I ended up changing to Bellinelli, but didn't work out.
Kidd-Gilchrist, his 6 steals were career high.
Final game of the evening was a very, very fun one, as Tony just mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
Between the Blazers and how do you say, you didn't watch the game?
I caught a lot of the highlights.
But how do you
I come prepared.
But, you can't say it was a fun game. You didn't watch it.
I watched extensive highlights of this game. It was back and forth.
I know that, but I'm sitting here watching how everything's going on.
I can tell from watching extensive highlights.
It was a fun game.
Exciting game. It came down to the end. There was even when Taj Gibson made a one-handed shot from the other three-point arc.
I watched it live. I know.
Yeah.
Sign up for the RotoWire 2017 exclusive edge
package.
Extensive highlight package.
I can't watch a West Coast game.
I don't
I'm going to get up and watch a lot of it and come prepared. If you want to laugh at that, go ahead.
I'm not laughing at that. It's just funny that I'm saying, it was a fun game. I watched this. And you're like, I know.
I can tell. I can tell by, by what I saw of it and what I read of it, that was a very exciting game. Westbrook had a great game, and it went down to the final second, and he missed the shot.
But you were emotionally involved in the contest, Scott. You had no emotion in the contest. You're watching the highlights. You already knew.
All right,
let me
explain this to you.
You have no emotional investment in the contest.
Let me explain this to you so you can understand. No, I'm explaining to you so you can understand it. Okay, I could tell this was an exciting game.
How?
I just told you how. You can't watch something the next morning and tell like it was a good game.
I feel like I missed it.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, I'm disappointed I missed this. It looked like a really exciting game.
Scott, that Taj Gibson play was actually better than you probably saw it on the highlights.
It was sick.
Yeah, so what happened was they inbounded the ball under their own basket, Portland, and they threw it all the way down to the free throw line. He caught it one-handed and fired it back with one hand, and it went in.
Yeah, it was. I screamed when it happened. It was awesome.
Yeah, we were at Applebee's, and even the women bartender was going a little crazy about that play. And then people don't know at halftime, right? At halftime, a guy won a car with a shot at halftime. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, at halftime, a guy hit a half court shot and won a car.
Oh, it's sick.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah.
It's a lot going on today. It's highlight package.
I didn't know the highlight package had the halftime activities.
I didn't know that. When you watch
stuff like on NBA TV or you go to certain websites, they will have very extensive highlights.
Like the Cliff Notes.
And no, it's not like Cliff Notes. They go very, very in-depth. It's like they'll show the highlight package, then they'll break down the game. In fact, NBA TV is a lot more serious than ESPN. NBA TV, I was watching like the breakdown of the Cleveland-Boston game the other night, and they never mentioned Belichick. You go to ESPN, it's like the first thing they show.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's like entertainment. Yeah. LeBron James about to topple over Bill Belichick is fun.
Yeah, I'm watching NBA TV. They show the whole package, sure. and then they sit down, they break it down, they show extra highlights. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
of course,
you know, they break down the film. I enjoy it.
For the Thunder, they were led by 45 points from Russell Westbrook, whose usage was 51% last night, but he was 12 of 36 from the field, 6 of 16 for 3, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. As Tony mentioned, much, much better when Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott were on the bench, because Alex Abrines only saw 10 minutes, Domantas Sabonis only saw 10 minutes. Everything else basically went to Doug McDermott and Taj Gibson. Gibson had 15 and 6, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Dougie Fresh had 9 and 4, 1 of 6 behind the arc, and then Enes Kanter had 18 and 10 off the bench in 28 minutes, while Stephen Adams had just 2 points. He was in foul trouble much of the night.
Yeah, Westbrook had 27 in the first quarter, but he only had 5 in the first half. He only had 5 in the final quarter.
That's bad.
So, yeah, I watched this game, and I knew Westbrook missed some shots. There was a couple shots.
Sure.
But I didn't realize he was 12 for 36 while I'm
watching. Me either, until I read it this morning.
Right, yeah. I was like, wow, he missed a lot of shots.
Yeah, I did not realize he was 12 for 36. I thought it was like a normal Westbrook game and he was missing, but not this many.
That's crazy.
And
the other thing, I would have never guessed that he only had 4 turnovers, because it seemed like there were more turnovers.
I know. Tonight, are Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott DFS options for you?
Yeah, they were for me last night, but it's only a 3-game slate. So, yes and no. I mean, he was 3,700, Taj Gibson, last night, right?
Right.
And he played 33 minutes. I think he plays close to that again. So, at 3,700, yeah, he absolutely is a play. Against a team very poor defensively, yeah, he's got to be a play. Dougie McDermott, probably not in this game. He played 37 minutes in it, and he's one of those guys that I don't think is going to get me a ton of rebounds, a ton of assists, a ton of steals. He's going to get basically points. So in a bigger slate, I don't think that is going to happen tonight.
All right. Listen to this on Nurkic, the third player in the league, just the third player in the league this year to have 15 points, 10-plus rebounds, 5-plus assists, and 5-plus blocks in a game. The only other guys to do it this year, Durant and Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, Joseph Nurkic just had a monster game, and he has really solidified that role. And that was a fantastic trade for Portland, because you get a center that fits them better and a first-round pick this year. Really nice job by Portland in that trade.
Yeah, 5 games with them so far, averaging 14 points and nearly 9 rebounds a game.
Nurkic was buried in Denver, and now he's a starter.
Yeah, I played him last
night
in DFS, and that was the reason I won.
Me too.
I had him in Westbrook. I'll tell you right now, this team is going to be good. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but Portland. But I think when next year when they start, having him there and keeping him healthy, he is a player. Then you have Damian Lillard there. They got to just figure out what they're doing with the small forward, the power forward position, and just stick to one of those guys. And I don't know if you bring it off the bench is the whole thing. I like this team. I think that with Nurkic, they're a whole different team.
I agree.
He is really a player. I mean, and he is a team player, too. Like, they killed him in Denver. I don't know what the story was there. This guy's a team player. You could see him on the court talking to the other players about where to be, how to be around. He's just new there. Like, he's added to that team, too, and put some intensity there. I don't know what the hell went wrong in Denver. They had two of the best big men in the league, and they couldn't play together, and now they just gave one away.
Pretty much. Literally gave him away for Mason Plumlee here. The rest of the numbers last night, Lillard at 33-5. CJ McCollum, 18-6-4. Mo Harkless had 10-9 off the bench. Al-Farouq Aminu had 14-6. They may not make the playoffs, but Portland's going to be good. I agree with Tony very, very much.
Last year, too, they made a late run. And they nailed that eighth spot, but I think Denver's too good now.
I think so, too. Hey, we'll take our final... We'll take our next break here. I'll come back, talk a little DFS. Tony will try to help us make lineups here. It's a full slate of games tonight. I got a lineup. We'll see what Tony thinks, and we will continue talking basketball here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Trying to set a DFS lineup here. Whole bunch of games on the slate. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games on the slate today, which does not make it easy. So, Tony, we start at the point guard position. What do we like tonight?
Well, first of all, let's get the Russell Westbrook thing out of the way. If you want to play him, you're going to have to play. I think he's at 8 out of 10 games with 70-plus fantasy points.
Oh,
so
God.
Even though it's $13,100, you got to throw him back into your lineup. 8 out of 10, 70-plus fantasy points in those games. So you can put him in. But if you don't choose to go that, I like Isaiah Thomas versus the L.A. Lakers tonight. He's at $9,800 on FanDuel, $9,300 on DraftKings. And George Hill gets – it's an interesting game. We have the best defense versus the worst defense in the NBA tonight with Utah and Brooklyn. So George Hill tonight, $6,300 and $6,000 on FanDuel, bringing us some salary cap relief. I'm leaning to a little Kyrie Irving as well. I think he could give you some play. And I'm not going to jump on D'Angelo Russell tonight, even though it's a decent matchup against the Celtics. They're a different team with Avery Bradley there, so I'm not going to go ahead and take a shot on him. Basically, those are the guards I'm looking at tonight. Now, if you guys wanted to go Yogi Ferrell for a cheap guard option, he's only $4,700 and $5,200 on DraftKings and FanDuel, respectively. They have the lowest team total, and they're a middle-of-the-pack defensive unit, so it's a play, but it's not a great play.
Well, maybe looking at, you know, two guys in the 6,000 range, Derrick Rose for 6,000 and Dennis Schroeder for 6,200.
Yeah, I like Dennis Schroeder tonight. I think he's a guy. If out of that group, I would go with Dennis Schroeder in that contest. They have a team total of 105, the sixth worst team in the league against point guards. Derrick Rose is getting more and more usage out of his play.
Yeah,
he's $6,000 on DraftKings, $6,400 on FanDuel. I don't think it's a bad play. 32 fantasy points in his last game, 30 in the game before that, 27, and then 20 and a 41. So he's trending upwards with two 30-point games in a row. And with the injuries that they have, and it'll be interesting to see what their starting lineup. I like them better with Porzingis at center.
I do, too.
Yeah, they were saying they like that that rotation, you know, with Thomas in there.
Yeah, I think we'll get to Kristaps Porzingis in a little bit. At the shooting guard position, Tony, which way are you leaning?
Shooting guard tonight is going to be interesting. I think the guy that if you want to go cheap, Rodney Hood, make sure he's healthy, 4,200, 4,500 against that game against Brooklyn, as we talked about that one. It's not a great matchup for Bradley Beal tonight in that Washington game, but Beal's one of those players that he's good enough that he could beat a matchup, but I'm not going to pay for him tonight. Kent Bazemore is $4,000. Now, with Thabo Sefolosha back, he gets less of an opportunity to play, but he's going against the second-worst team in the league, covering two guards. So you can go ahead and take a shot on him, but he's only got 20 points in his last game, fantasy points, 21, 10, and 20 since Sefolosha comes back. So his ceiling's in the 20-point range, so not a lot to love there. I would be trying to save money tonight and go cheap at the two guard. Look for an injury to pop up there. Seth Curry's a guy you could play, but they have such a low total in that game. It's the only game under 200 tonight. I'm a little concerned about that, but I'm leaning to go with Sheep and Rodney Hood.
Yeah, are you worried about you know, them being cautious with Hood, with Hood's minutes? You know, maybe easing him back in, and you know, and the same talk with Bogdanovic is 4,400. Are you cautioning against using him coming off a big game?
Before you answer, Rodney Hood has already been ruled out tonight for Friday's game with the Nets.
Okay, Bogdanovic.
So Joe Ingles probably get the start.
Yep.
Bogdanovic scored 27, and he goes against Toronto tonight. But, you know, would you caution against using him, especially like more casual players, saying, okay, don't go with that momentum because he's coming off the bench?
Well, he's only 4,400. I don't have a problem using him. I actually used him a couple games ago there. I would actually just slide in Rodney Hood. I'm trying to get Ingles a salary, and I can't find it anywhere.
Ingles on FanDuel is 3,700.
4,000 on DraftKings.
Yeah, I would use. I wouldn't mind using him tonight
against
in
Brooklyn.
That game.
Yeah.
Okay. At a small forward position, you mentioned Joe Ingles. That's the spot he qualifies on at FanDuel. Who else do you like at small forward?
Small forward tonight in the NBA, Gordon Hayward against Brooklyn's always going to be a play, but I'm going to use Jay Crowder, $5,700 in that game against the Lakers. I think that's a nice play. If you want to pay up tonight and you still have money, LeBron James is in a great opportunity tonight. His price has risen to $11,200 on DraftKings, $10,800 on FanDuel. He comes into play. Even though Robert Covington's price has gone up, he actually is playing like this price at $7,200. And tonight he's facing the third worst team against small forwards. I'll tell you what, you can go back against in the Knicks. Who's going to cover him tonight? And Covington's put up games of 28, 32, 43, 48, 39 fantasy points in a game against the Knicks tonight. I like Covington as well. And Chris Middleton, it's high risk, high reward. I like him better on FanDuel. His salary's only $5,300 in that one. He didn't start the last game, but still played 30 minutes, so I could go there. But the guy that I'm going to put in is Jay Crowder. I like a little LeBron James, and I like a little Covington, but the guy I'm building on is Jay Crowder.
For me, the other small part I want to ask you about, T.J. Warren going back to the well. We just talked about that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Against Phoenix.
T.J. Warren. OKC. T.J. Warren tonight in this contest. And I can't, it's not a bad play. The salary's all right, and it's a matchup that's middle of the road. Yeah, I mean, basically, though, I look at Crowder, and in this game against the Lakers, I'm looking at a guy that could put up, you know, close to 30 fantasy points. Can Warren put up that? Yeah, absolutely. They're 14th in the league against small forwards, so he's in the middle of the pack there. You look at what Warren has done. Since then, 30 fantasy points in his last game, 27, 31, 32, 25. I mean, he's consistently putting right close to 30 fantasy points.
What about, you know, if you haven't mentioned Gordon Hayward maybe bouncing back from a bad game and going against Brooklyn at 7,600?
Yeah, he was the first guy I mentioned. I like him.
Okay.
At the power forward.
I'm just confirming here, yeah.
At the power forward position, we just mentioned Taj Gibson in Oklahoma City. Who else do you like?
Yeah, power forward tonight, when you're looking at the guy, first of all, I'm not going to do this, but I'll throw it out there. Derek Favors has a good matchup tonight. I'm not using him. I've been waiting for him to turn it around for a while, and it hasn't happened. But he did have a double-double in his last game. He put up 28 fantasy points. It's another easy matchup. If you want to take a shot, go ahead. On paper, it looks like it'll work. I'm not going to do that. But Blake Griffin has a great matchup tonight. He's 9,100, facing the third worst team against power forwards. I like Dario Saric tonight, too, at $7,400 against team fifth worst against power forwards. And Serge Ibaka has a great matchup tonight. I'm not playing him because of the Toronto situation there. So there's a couple guys that I'm leery of there. If I was going to pay big money tonight, I'm going to go Blake Griffin. If I'm going to try to save a little cash, I'm going to go Julius Randle against the Celtics.
What about Marquise Chris maybe as a punt play at 4,300?
You can use him as a punt play, but he doesn't get anything else but score. I mean, he had no rebounds, no assists.
Kristaps Porzingis comes to mind for me against Philadelphia, especially if he starts at center. I like him at 6,700 on FanDuel.
Yeah, I mean, Okafor is one of the worst defensive players in the league. So if he does, he should be there. But the problem is, Derek Rose and Carmelo Anthony have sort of become ball huns over there, and they don't get him the ball enough. That's my only concern there.
Sure.
He can definitely handle that matchup. Rudy Gobert tonight against Brooke Lopez in a bad play.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy I'm looking at tonight, I actually like Jahlil Okafor, too, against the Knicks tonight. If you want to go 4,900, he can go there if you want to go cheap there. But Hassan Whiteside's the best play at center tonight. He's $8,100 and $8,800 on FanDuel. They're the sixth worst team in the league against covering centers. And Hassan Whiteside, the ball will go through him tonight. But you got another cheap option in Jahlil Okafor. I think you can look at using Marcin Gortat tonight as well if you wanted to go a little cheaper there. And he's a guy that consistently plays 30-something plus minutes there. I'm not going to use DeMarcus Cousins tonight. That their team total is only 100, and his price is inviting though at 9,200, and they're the second best team against covering centers. But when people see that $9,200 price, I immediately was like, "Man, I'm going to play DeMarcus Cousins tonight." But I'm sort of leaning off that right now.
Al Horford nearly triple doubled his last time out. He's 6,200, and I know the matchup doesn't look great, but Brooke Lopez is only 5,900.
No, Brooke Lopez is not a bad matchup tonight, and he never is, but it's hot or cold. Al Horford's facing the Lakers, who are the worst team in the league against centers. The problem with Al Horford is there's just some games where he doesn't show up.
Hasn't scored in double digits. He hasn't scored double digits since February 15th.
Yeah, there are just games where he's out. Like, they ridiculed him. He put a triple-double in his last game. At halftime, he had 4 points. And he was being outplayed by Tristan Thompson in a big way on the boards. They were killing him at halftime, and then he played a good second half. But he's too wishy-washy to be watching a lot of Celtics games to me. I just don't have the confidence in his play.
Yeah, though it's interesting because like the way he just missed it, like he just missed it with the 9 points.
You know, Corey Parson is not the defending champion, and he's Mike Lyon. That's Tony Cincotta. He goes for his third consecutive victory next on the Roto Experts. Is Mike Lyon comes your way next? I need to clarify something. I've been given a note here that Tony, he did not win last week. I was wrong.
You pulled an Oscars.
The winner last week was the King, Scott Engel.
Yeah, we did another game last week that Tony won.
He must have won the week. He won the weakest link, I guess.
Yeah, he won the weakest link. Yeah.
I won Shark Tank.
You did not. There's just no winner. We're all presenting. It's not a contest. It's a group activity.
I feel like I won.
Feel like you won Shark Tank?
Yeah.
Because you got the main event spot this week? You had your own day for it?
I'm always the main event, Greg.
Seems debatable.
It was such a main event, he forgot he was supposed to do it.
It's a great point you make, Tony. Sorry. It's a great point. But it's Mike Lyon. It's how we end each and every week. So we bring in our producer, Michael Florio. What's going on, Mikey?
Nothing. How are you guys?
Doing well. We're doing very, very well. We're wrapping up the week. We got Combine coverage the next couple of days with the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Package, which is available right now. You should not draft without it. RotoExperts.com. Exclusive Edge, the premium package, $29.95. You get a discount. You enter free radio when you check out. Scotty, you are the champion, the defending champion. When would you like to go?
Third.
You'd like to go third, which means up first is the fantasy executive.
Ender Inciarte led all qualified hitters in runs scored in the second half.
That's a good one right there. I selected Inciarte in the Roto Experts mock draft.
So you probably know how many runs he scored.
Congratulations.
Yep. I'm going to say that this is a true statement.
True. Tony.
I'm going to take the whole field and say false.
No, okay, false.
I'm going to say true.
True, says the king.
Tony Cincotta's up to a 1-0 lead.
To be honest, this Florio gives me the hardest questions all the time.
Well, you all have the same questions.
We all have the same questions.
Sorry. Inciarte was tied for second.
Oh, this guy. He's a fraud.
He was tied for second. Yeah. Let me give you another. I'm going to give you a chance for a point, Corey, because you complained.
Oh, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, he likes it now.
He likes it.
No.
Give the town crier another chance.
What's the other chance, Greg?
We give you who had more runs scored than in the second half.
Mike Trout?
No.
Scott?
Jonathan Villar?
No.
Tony?
Mookie Betts?
No.
That'll do it for this question, Florian.
Yep, nobody got it.
Charlie Blackman.
Oh, son of a
but
gun.
But tied for second with Inciarte was his teammate, Freddie Freeman. So the Braves scored a lot of runs in the second half.
Let's see if they can continue that momentum into 2017. Tony Cicada is up with question number two.
Justin Upton led all qualified hitters in second half home runs.
A lot of second half theme here for Michael
Florian. Oh, it's a theme.
False.
Scott.
True.
We'll just wait for the executive, like...
I'm working.
This is your work. This is your job.
That is a true statement.
True.
So Scott Which and Corey say true. Job? Tony says false. Tony's up to a 2-0 lead.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. He had 22 home runs in the second half.
He did at 22. Three players had more.
Scott, can you name one?
Ryan Schimpf.
No. That was not a bad guess, though. Yeah. I did not expect that.
Yeah. Ryan Schimpf, okay.
No.
Corey, could you name one?
It's a second baseman for the Padres.
Oh, it's player's second half home runs? Mm-hmm. Nelson Cruz.
No.
Tony, let's extend your lead.
Mike Trumbo.
No.
I'll give you one more time around because there's three players. Scott.
Yasmani Tomas.
No.
That was a good call.
Scott with two good guesses, though.
Yeah. Anthony Rizzo.
No.
Tony?
All right, Chris Cotta.
No.
And that'll do it. Give me the answers, please, Michael.
The obvious one was Brian Dozier. Chris Davis with a K, and then Nando's guy, Jed Jerko.
Oh, I should have known Jed Jerko, man.
You know what? Brian Dozier should have been easy. He didn't get a hit in April.
Yeah, it's true.
You know what? What? Florio sit down there with the answers, but he kind of like has like this attitude where, oh, you guys don't know. He's kind of smug with
Corey, stop.
No,
it.
He is. No, it is. Come he on, had Corey. The damn answers. You know what
please.
I'm saying?
Stop I make the questions. Crying.
And he's sitting down there with the answers.
No,
and it's like
he's not.
And it's like he's looking down on us when we get
the show. He had some good guesses.
When the show is over, you walk down. He's the first one to say to you after every show, oh, Corey, you're so funny.
Scott's a hater. But what I'm saying is true. Florio is smug with his answers.
Can you stop crying every time
like
you get
Harvey.
Behind?
Oh, he's like Steve. I like
Steve
I'm
Harvey's really the man.
I'm not really a Steve Harvey guy.
I was the biggest Steve Harvey fit. Oh, I love him.
Really? He's on TV too much.
He's on TV like 24 hours a day.
Yeah. Every time I walk in the house, Steve Harvey's on. Oh, my grandmother watching Steve Harvey.
Complaining about somebody being on TV too much or on the radio for 6 hours today.
Yeah, I prefer him
but
over,
that's okay.
Over Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah. Well, listen, I ain't getting the kind of check Steve Harvey getting either.
Scott, question number three.
Okay.
Kyle Hendricks had the lowest ERA of all qualified pitchers in the second half. Second half theme today.
False.
Corey?
False.
Tony?
I'm going to go true because he's done two falses in a row. You can't go three falses in a row.
Tony's going contrarian and it's working out for him. 3-0
lead. 3-0
lead. He had a 1.68 ERA in the second half.
Well, it's interesting because we knew he finished the year with the lowest ERA. So, you know. Yeah. Tony, running away. They're going
like
for perfect
contrarian. DFS strategy is working.
All right, here we go. Question number four is Corey Parsons.
According to UberFacts, as of 2015, over 5% of U.S. households did not own a TV.
Ooh.
2015.
How many percent?
5% of U.S.
Over
households.
Five.
Over 5% of U.S. households do not own a television. I'm going to say this is a true statement.
Tony?
It's definitely true. I mean, have you ever been to Montana?
No, I have not. Scott.
Yeah, true.
This is false.
Whoa!
Only 2.6% of households did not own a TV, but that number was apparently doubled from 2009. So more and more people are getting rid of their TVs.
Interesting. There you go. Florio switching up that
this
Uber
This is what
fact.
I'm talking about with Florio.
Switching it up.
Yeah.
Smug.
How was I smug? I was reading the answer.
You're the most smug person on this panel. What are you talking about?
This is not a panel.
Whatever.
Scotty's got my back.
Let's get
Jack
halfway through with question number five to Tony C.
Justin Verlander had the highest strikeout rate of all qualified pitchers in the second half.
Tony?
Oh, my God. This is true.
False.
True.
Scott Engel's on the board.
This is ridiculous.
Oh.
This is effing ridiculous.
Because you're over five?
Florio, don't start.
Justin Verlander was second. Mike. One pitcher had a higher strikeout rate in the second half.
Scott, you got that correct. Tony answered first, so it's Tony's first opportunity.
I am going to go with Yu Darvish.
Boom.
Boom! And Tony picks up his point.
I was going to say Yu Darvish, too.
Sure you were.
No, I was.
No, you weren't.
How the hell are you going to tell me what's in my mind, Scott? I knew what I was going to say.
You're all... I've been crying this whole show.
We got a score update, please, Michael?
I didn't get a lot of rest.
It is Tony 4.
Excuses now.
Scott 1. Corey 0.
Tony with a 3-point lead. 5 questions to go. Now is our final break of the day. We wrap up Is Mike Lyon and the show coming up next. Final 15 minutes of the program here on the Roto Experts. Coming up next, COG, the old school fantasy hour. Corey Parson, George the Animal Kurtz.
And Scott, I don't like George the Animal.
And Scott Engel, followed by our special combine coverage. No On Target today. Corey Parson will anchor our combine coverage with Mike Blewett alongside. And Emery as well, right?
Corey Parson. Emery Hunt, Emery football Hunt, game plan.
Corey Parson, so, the underwear analyst.
You want... No, I'm not going to say nothing. Just leave it alone. Just keep it moving, Corey. I'm happy to be here.
You are... What?
I'm happy to be here.
You haven't sounded like it.
No, I am happy. Florio is robbing me, but I'm happy to be here.
That doesn't sound like happy. That sounds like crying.
No, I'm still happy to be here. I'm still going to pull a miraculous comeback.
It's definitely possible, because we begin with question number 6, and we begin with the king, Scott Engel.
Andrew Miller led all qualified relievers in second half strikeouts.
False.
True.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. I'm going to say true as well.
This was false.
He was king!
Uh-oh. He was second.
Here comes the king. Scott, that was your question first, but you got it correct, so we go to Corey with the first opportunity to get his first point of the day with question number 6.
Oh, you mean you want me? I thought you were going to ask me the question.
He is so...
I'm rattled right now.
He's so rattled,
with you.
Yeah.
Second half. Repeat the question, please, Mr. Florio.
Oh, boy.
The question was, Andrew Miller led all qualified relievers in second half strikeouts. It was false. He was second. There's one name that had more.
The name that had more. The name of that player is...
Clayton Kershaw is not a reliever.
I know Clayton Kershaw is not a reliever, Scott. Do you know that?
Yes.
I couldn't tell.
I got the question right, by the way.
The answer to this question is... Zach Britton.
No.
I roll this.
There goes
Chapman.
A miraculous comeback.
No, it was not Chapman.
Scott, next is a chance to continue to come back here.
Edwin Diaz?
No. Can I give them a clue?
Sure.
It's not a closer.
Not a closer.
Not a closer.
Corey.
Oh, Dylan Betances.
No, but that's a good guess.
It is a good guess.
Tony.
Barclaw from Miami.
No.
Scotty. Mm.
Barclaw was 4, Edwin Diaz was 3, Chapman was 6. So you guys, Betances was 10. You guys are getting close.
Hector Neris.
No.
All right, give me an answer, Floria.
Juan Nicasio.
I know I was getting that.
This guy right here. Holy Christ.
Could he be in consideration for the closer job in Pittsburgh? I mean, he was really good as a reliever.
No.
You know what? That makes a lot of sense, but it won't. He's probably going to be used like Andrew Miller and couple innings.
We would have got that with 900 guesses.
No way. All right. Question number 7, Corey Parson.
All right, let's go.
John Lester had the lowest FIP in the second half of all qualified starters.
Oh, my God. You got to be... Is this guy kidding me?
Stop your whining and answer the questions.
I don't research FIP because I think it's fraudulent.
Wah. Answer the question.
I'm sorry.
That answer, it's false.
Can you repeat the question? I didn't hear the end of it because this guy was crying.
John Lester had the lowest FIP in the second half of all qualified starters.
Tony?
False.
False around the board.
It is false. He was second because I took Jose.
One.
I took Jose Fernandez out, so he
was
second.
Second. He was second to somebody else.
Yes.
Jose
All right.
Fernandez.
Court, no, not
why
not Jose.
Took
Jose Fernandez.
Fernandez
out.
Was one. I'm not counting him though. So Lester
right.
was second. There's
why
an active player still ahead of him?
Like he actually played last year and he actually qualified.
Because I think all the questions involve active players currently,
yeah,
Tony.
Yeah.
But Tony,
you asked for the 2016 season though.
There's still someone ahead of Lester.
Corey, there's still someone ahead of Lester. Everyone got it right. You answered the question first. You
second,
get the opportunity.
Oh, let me guess. Who had the lowest FIP in the second half of the
yeah,
season?
Yeah.
Max Scherzer.
No.
It was not
he
Max
was
Scherzer.
Fourth.
He was fourth.
So, well, actually third if you take out Fernandez.
Ah, you just missed that, Corey. Tony.
I'm going to go with Justin Verlander.
No.
Scotty.
Robbie Ray.
No. Verlander was seventh. I have to look up where Robbie Ray was.
Corey.
Where did you get that name from, Scotty?
Well, you know, all the bad luck that he had last year. Like, he had the highest BABIP in baseball last year.
He sure did. Corey.
Fourth highest since 2002.
The lowest FIP in the second half?
Yes.
Clayton Kershaw.
He did not qualify, I don't believe.
Oh, he has the back. Yeah, he had the back. So I get another chance.
Sure. Why not?
Why not?
Oh, boy.
Corey Kluber.
No.
Tony.
I wasn't prepared to go again. Twice. Yu Darvish.
No.
Scotty.
Yu Darvish was ninth.
Noah Syndergaard.
Yes.
No!
Oh,
gave
him
an answer.
Scotty
as
gave him the
mouth,
answer.
Scotty, I knew you won.
Question number.
What's the score, by the way?
Tony 5, Scott 4, Corey 1.
Tony leads shrinking.
Wait, what did you say about finishing last
the
earlier?
Defending champion is 1 point away as we go to question number 8 with
it's
Tony Sankata.
According to UberFacts, McDonald's. According to UberFacts, McDonald's chicken McNuggets come in 4 distinct shapes.
Tony.
What is it? Like, I don't know. I just open them. I don't even eat them. I don't know. Kids eat them. They all look the same. No, that's false.
Scotty.
You think I would have an advantage because it's a fast food question, but I don't.
Now,
eat,
I can assure
I don't
you.
Have the chicken, I don't eat the chicken nuggets, but I have to say true.
I can tell you that Scotty and Corey both purchased McDonald's this week.
Chicken nuggets, too, I believe.
And I got the chicken nuggets.
And Corey got the chicken nuggets.
I didn't. I got the Mac Jr.
When you put them in your mouth, did they feel different?
Scott is a Mac Jr. He got a Junior Mac.
Corey, hey, answer, please.
Corey, how did the nuggets take feel in your mouth? Answer
now,
the question.
As I was eating the nuggets, I realized that they did have 4 different distinct shapes.
So you're going true.
This is true.
Yeah, Corey's very good at putting things in his mouth and telling the shape.
Definitely not appropriate. That, you can't say that on the radio. At all.
What? I'm talking about cookies.
You could have said chicken nuggets.
No, nuggets.
I say true.
So we got 2 trues and a false. We have a tie game because this is true.
Oh.
Apparently they come shaped like a bell, a boot, a ball, and a bone.
There you go.
Corey likes the third one. No wonder he eats.
Again, probably shouldn't say these things.
I've never seen the bell in the nuggets.
Question number 9, Scott.
If you search UberFacts timeline, they actually have a picture of it. So question number 9. Trey Turner had the highest average of all hitters, qualified hitters in the second half.
Are you just going to stare or you answer?
I didn't know whose turn it was.
Yours. I said Scotty.
Okay. I'm going to say false.
Can you repeat the question, Mike?
Trey Turner had the highest average of qualified hitters in the second half.
True.
False.
The game remains tied because this is false. He was actually sixth. So there's five players ahead of him.
Five players ahead of him, Scott.
Five players. DJ LeMayu.
He is one of
That's
them.
That's 1 point for Scott Angle.
I can't deal
Corey?
With this.
What was the question?
Miguel Cabrera.
He was one of them.
Yay!
Point for the advantage executive. Tony.
Charlie
Still
Blackman.
In last.
Charlie Blackman was seventh, right behind
Ooh.
Turner.
Oh.
One more time around. Scotty.
Let's see. I am going to say...
Three more
Miguel
guys.
Cabrera.
That was just said by Corey. Thanks for listening.
After
what
he
the
exploded.
Hell are you doing, Scott?
You're in last
this is
place.
Why you come in last in Tout Wars.
You're in last right now.
He said Miguel Cabrera.
You're not
and
invited to Tout Wars.
At you.
Let's see.
Rudy Gobert.
I will go Chris Bryant.
No, he is not one of them.
Corey.
Batting average and not advanced stat.
I understand that, Scott.
It's one of the 5x5.
It's one of the 5x5. Do you understand that, Scott?
Do you understand that?
Sterling Marte.
No.
All right.
He's hurt, too.
Try.
I'm going to go with Mookie Betts.
No.
Okay, that's going to do it. Give me the other three, please.
Joey Votto, Yadier Molina, and Ender Inciarte.
Joey Votto, Yadier Molina, and Ender Inciarte.
Maybe we're overlooking Inciarte. I don't know.
He had a huge second half. I forgot about that. He's been at two of the questions already.
The final question.
Scott
is up 1 point after being down 4 points earlier on. He's up one, going to number 10, to Corey Parson.
Joey Votto had the highest WOBA amongst all qualified hitters in the second half.
Oh, you're going to ask me a question about WOBA. What the hell is wrong with this?
WOBA.
The answer is true, though.
True.
It's not your turn, but it's Tony's false. Turn. Tony says false.
I say true.
Scott says true.
It is true. He had a 478 WOBA and hit 408 in the second half.
Which means you're winner. And still defending Michael Florio is my lying champion, the king, Scott Angle.
Corey did say there was going to be a miraculous comeback.
And it was by Scotty.
Yep.
Nice job, Scott.
So I blew
good game, Tony.
I blew the game. Yeah, now I'm going to head to San Francisco.
San Francisco?
Yeah, I'm going to fall in the likes of my mentor, Kyle Shanahan.
You also have the Golden State Warriors.
You also the Golden State Warriors blew that 3-1 lead.
The Bay Area is a place where people blow leads.
It's interesting. They're all making... A lot of people after the Durant injury is like, oh my God, it happened on 3-1, March 1st. Oh my God, 3-1. Oh my God.
Oh, it was 3-1.
But it really happened like the day before, on March 28th.
Also
March
happened, 28th, also happened March in Cleveland, so.
I'm sorry?
Also did happen in Cleveland.
Well, it happened to the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
That's San Francisco-ish. Corey, what's on the OGs today?
On today, coming up on the OGs, we'll talk about a little bit NFL Combine, get some NFL news out there, and then plus we'll go a little bit in-depth analysis in the catcher position. You know what I'm saying? We'll do that. I don't know. Isn't Labor the League of Alternative Baseball Realities actual auctions this weekend out there in Phoenix?
I do not know the auctions. I do not know the dates.
Yeah, I think they are this weekend, so maybe we'll do...
The legend is out there. He's participating this weekend.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a little mono league stuff. So that's what the deal is right there. We'll see if we can get that done.
Okay. Then, of course, following that here, Corey, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, the beginning of your Combine specials. We have it every day, Friday today through Monday, 11 to 1 today, 10 to 12 Saturday and Sunday, then back 11 to 1 on Monday morning. What can we expect from today's Combine special?
Well, today we have the running backs will be taking the field today, so we'll go hot and heavy into some running back talk. We'll look at some teams that have needs at the running back position. We'll discuss and talk about the prospects and, you know, see if we can find an NFL comparison to them. So, should be fun. Good stuff coming up. Hopefully, I want to get the NFL Network on that television. That'd be cool.
There's no cable in this.
Why do we have to listen to this for 4 days when we can listen to Pat Mayo talking about The Bachelor?
So we get a chance to introduce you to the fantasy football stars of tomorrow.
There you go.
I love it.
And there you go. What do you got going on this weekend, Scotty?
I haven't even thought about it yet.
Okay. Corey, besides work, what are you doing?
I'm
work.
Try to finish.
Yeah.
We're trying to finish.
Tony, what are you doing this weekend?
Won't go well.
I'm going to take the kids to see Fist Fight. I'm going to watch UFC Saturday night and Fastlane Sunday night.
All right, there you go. There you go. There you have it. That is going to do it for this week here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. It's been a fun one, gentlemen. Get rested, get well, and we will see you back here on Monday. For the King, Scott Angle, for the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, and for Tony Zagata, I'm Greg Sussman. Have a wonderful and fantastic long weekend. And like I said, we'll see you back here Monday. Have a great Friday, everybody. Enjoy it. Corey, Scotty, George, they're up next. Bye-bye.